This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. If Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has her way, major federal research agencies like the National Institutes of Health would be guaranteed sizable annual budget increases. Baldwin and fellow congressional Democrats like Illinois Senator Richard Durbin have introduced the American Cures Act and American Innovation Act with a hope, they say, of restoring the United States' commitment to breakthrough scientific and biomedical research. Last weekend in Milwaukee, WUWM's innovation reporter Chuck Kornbach spoke with Senator Baldwin about the measures. Baldwin began by mentioning her long interest in science.
I was actually raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather was a research scientist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He was a biochemist and doing very, what we call, basic research to understand how cells work. So I grew up with a real appreciation and respect for scientific inquiry, and I know that both basic and applied science can lead to incredible breakthroughs that can save lives in the biosciences and can be leading-edge new technologies in other areas of our economy. The U.S. has not kept pace with the rest of the world, nor has it kept up the commitment to funding science, basic research that we did in the early days of the National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, etc. And so these two measures are meant to getting close to doubling our R&D budget for the nation. We know that our future economy depends on it. We know that incredible breakthroughs in health and energy and other fields depends on it. And we know our competitiveness globally depends on it. So each of these bills, the Cures Act, will give a big boost to the annual budget for the National Institute of Health, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Department of Defense Health Program, and the Veterans Medical and Prosthetics Research Program. And the other bill, the American Innovation Act, gives 5% increase to support cutting-edge research at five other federal research agencies.
5% or 5% plus inflation, perhaps, that's a lot. Does that tie the hands of budget makers who have to, you know, make things try to even out?
You know, the instructions and purpose in doing this is to express a commitment to remaining competitive globally and a commitment to those going into the fields that they should pursue that. Right now, we're losing some of our best researchers to other nations that are funding research. We're losing out opportunities to be in the forefront of emerging technologies and solutions to things that confound us, like how to lessen our carbon footprint. So I think that expressing that commitment is vitally important. And no, it doesn't absolutely tie the hands of future presidents or future members of Congress, but I think that commitment will be seen through.
Could they reduce that amount, or could Congress reduce that amount if it declared some sort of budget emergency?
Well, now you're asking a question with lots of other implications. Certainly, Congress has the authority with annual appropriation bills to meet the demands in front of us. I guess one of the things I'd argue about making a commitment to increasing our research and development and scientific budgets is that they really do spur the economy. And when you spur the economy and create more good-paying jobs, you actually get more tax revenues. So this is all, I think, a really wise investment, which there's a huge return on.
Couldn't the private sector do more of this funding on its own, and won't some of this government research help the private sector, so why not have the corporations fund more?
Well, there are lots of ideas that are and innovations that occur at our research universities. And there is federal law aimed at making sure that if there's a joint venture between public research university or private one and a private corporation, that both can retain royalties from their invention, their discovery. And I think that's important. Oftentimes what we fund with government research is basic science, not necessarily applied science. I do think that it is in the interests of not just pharmaceutical corporations, but frankly across the board, manufacturing, et cetera, to keep a cutting edge on research and development. And frankly, I think they have not necessarily been, it's hard to make a one-size-fits-all statement, but I think that was one of the hopes behind the 2017 tax measure, was that with lower tax obligations for large corporations, that they would reinvest some of that in their workers, in training, in equipment, and in R&D to keep themselves relevant and competitive in the long run. We haven't seen that to the extent that I think was hoped for, and we certainly haven't seen workers getting ahead the way we would like to have seen. So it didn't trickle down, and I think that there's need for additional incentives and investment, but on the government side.
You've met with a lot of people that have health problems. Can you sort of put it in their terms, and they might say, well, what might I get out of this, or what might my aging mother or young child who has a disease, what might this investment lead to for the average person?
Certainly, we have human health conditions that are still mysterious to us. We haven't found a cure for cancers, all cancers. We haven't found a way to reverse Alzheimer's or dementia. And, imagine what a breakthrough in those areas would mean to our health budget and to people's well-being and health. And then I think of some of the breakthroughs that we have seen recently in research on sickle cell anemia. Recently, I think they're called immunotherapies that work against cancer rather than chemotherapies, that have fewer side effects, and they're trying to expand the number of cancers that can be treated through this type of therapy. These are breakthroughs that will change things dramatically for those who are suffering from these illnesses and diseases, and will also have a major effect on our healthcare economies.
And lastly, if you could talk about the budget process or the congressional lawmaking process, where are these measures in? Are they still alive? Could they be blended into a budget document?
You know, I think that there are many reasons why this should receive strong and bipartisan support. You know, there's expenditures that are truly investments, and that those investments have return. And there's expenditures that when you don't do them, you really do create a sort of deficit. People talk about our infrastructure deficit, that at some point we will pay, and it'll cost more if we don't make the upfront investment in our infrastructure. I think research is one of those things. So we hope that we will see strong support, and if for no other reason, because we're competitive, and when we hear that other countries are making much bigger investments in these in the sciences and biomedical science, they want to be on top of the next breakthrough. I think we want to get there first.
So you and Senator Durbin, or on the Innovation Act, you and Senator Gillibrand and the other co-sponsors are still going to be pushing this?
Absolutely. And as in particular, Senator Durbin and I both sit on the Senate Appropriations Committee, it's something that we can try to see through. And frankly, we'd love to be able to set the example in the appropriation process of making some of these significant investments, even if these bills don't pass first.
Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin spoke with WUWM's innovation reporter Chuck Quirnbach at an event in Milwaukee this past weekend. You can find out more at WUWM.com.